morning, everybody. Today is the day that the Lord has made. Amen? And I'm, as you can tell, I'm missing my partner here because she was kind enough to go and get me some tea. And yes, because last night blew my voice out a little bit. So hope you guys can put up with the crackles and the creaks. And we're going to get started here. We're going to praise the Lord. Thank you, Cheryl. We got cough drops. I'll try and see how that works. I'm vamping. This is what you call vamping. You know, I'm giving Megan a chance to get here, but she may not. Oh, there she is. Woohoo! Woo. We were just vamping, Meegs.
Thank you very much.
Oh,
you
take milk, right?
Oh, yeah, right.
Lemon tea.
I don't know what it is with these South Africans and milk and tea. I mean, come on. Milk is for coffee, not tea.
It's a good British tradition.
Oh, please. Well, let's go ahead and get started. Y'all ready?
Yes.
All right.
Let's wake up.
Today's going to be one of those joyful noise days. So you guys make a joyful noise with us.
I will be a true believer that I want. This is the day. will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer unto you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer unto you the sacrifice.
Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord.
Well, good morning, everybody. What is today? Wednesday?
Wednesday.
Day three. Middle of the week. We still got a lot to go. And we've already received some good stuff. Amen? Here you go, Rick.
Thank you, guys. You guys go ahead and sit down. Great. My Bible's password protected. Go figure. We'll get that solved right now. I think there's a sermon in there, just not for today. Because, you know, the spiritual things of God are password protected. You got to have Jesus to understand them. Amen. If you try and understand the Word of God with your intellect, you're going to be sorely lacking. Because ain't none of us smart enough. You know, there's one thing that I have held on to. And I remember Lisa. Where's Lisa? Oh, goodness. It is early. I remember Lisa in my living room spinning her head around with Green Butte coming out. Figuratively. And pretty near literally. And she was struggling. I mean, really struggling. And these two have struggled, let me tell you. Been around for some of that struggling. No, thank you. I've been around some of that struggling. And, you know, the one thing that Lisa really had a problem with, and it's something I think we all have a problem with, because, see, we all grew up with carnal parents. We grew up with parents that never understood the love of God. See, we grew up around people and parents and authorities that they didn't know the love of God. Now, most parents, and boy, this is a testimony against some of us if we really get in our closets and think about it. But most parents don't raise their children out of love. Most parents raise their children out of, what's the least amount of inconvenience can this child cause me? That's how they raise their children. And they impart that, quote, love into their children. And then children grow up to have children. And we wonder why we have the children we have. That's why I try to not call my child a kid, because a kid's a baby goat. And all they do is go, nah, nah. Go do this, nah. Go do something else, nah. It's like most of us Christians. Go preach the gospel, nah. Go heal the sick. Nah. Go love one another. Nah. Goats are nasty. We had some goats. They were good for one thing, eating stuff up. That was about all they were good for. They would break things and eat things. Even right off you, if you get them close enough, they'll eat your pants off your body. They ain't the brightest, you know, tools in the toolbox. And I think we emulate that more than we ought to. But we haven't been taught well. I mean, not by our natural parents. Now, some of us have had the advantage of sitting under people that know what love is. Anyway, Lisa's sitting in my living room. They're having a problem. One of many. And a long line of problems. And I had to tell Lisa, I said, Lisa, you know something? Jesus loves you. I want you to wrap yourself around that for a moment. Jesus loves you. Now, we've talked a lot about Jesus loved you. He loved you so much that while we were yet sinners, he went to the cross and died for us. I had the privilege of speaking here a few weeks ago, and I was able to talk about perspective. And if you understand Jesus loves you, that'll put a different perspective on your life. If you walk around with the perspective that is imparted to us by our natural authorities, you're not going to have the right perspective. Because you're not going to understand what the love of God really is. You're going to be really familiar with philios love, which is that which makes you feel good. And that's what the church is filled with today. The church doesn't understand God's love because the pastors don't walk in God's love. See, God's love is agape love. It's one of choice. You realize that every word Jesus spoke was out of love. Every word, every single word he spoke was out of love. That's the word that he spoke to the guy at the pool and healed him. That's the word that he spoke to the guy with the blind eyes. And his disciples, full of discernment and wisdom, said, what did this guy do? Did he's blind? Nothing. But that God might be glorified. You want to see a tremendously tender story? Read that one. Ooh, that's a good one. Because God just loved him and healed him. And even his parents at the end of that story rejected him. That's a whole other sermon. We better move on. But every word, I'm going to use this side of the thing for a little bit. every word. When he went into the temple and he cleaned it out, that was love. When he spoke to the Pharisees and he called them whitewashed sepulchers and serpents and called their fathers the devil. I mean, that was love. Every single word he spoke was love. Sometimes those words of love, they don't make you feel good. Because your flesh is tied to philios love. Your spirit is tied to agape love. We're to edify one another. How? Make our flesh feel good? Did I make your flesh feel good, Lisa? I didn't. Remember this poor girl in her rocking chair coming trying to kill me one day? You guys were lots of lessons for me. Gave me lots of opportunity to learn how to love. Philip's a good one for that too. Where's Philip? And you know, I've been a good lesson for people to learn how to love. I'm sure Steve learned a lot about love dealing with me. And my dad has an overabundance of opportunities to learn love with me. Thanks, Steve. There's your second witness on that one. But God is love. And we are to put forth love. So how do we get to the place where what we say is out of love? See, we are told to tell the truth. How? In love. That's not philios love. And this is what's really critical. You all know there's three kinds of love, right? Dave, did you know there's three kinds of love? All right, let me break it down for you. You got three kinds of love. You got eros love. Now, you all know what that is. Do I need to draw a picture? I hope not. Okay. There's philios love. That's like friendly love. You have friends. You ever have a friend that makes you mad? You don't like him anymore? I've had friends that made me mad. I didn't like him anymore. I didn't want to be my friend anymore. That's philios love. See, that's tied to how they make you feel. And then there's agape love. And agape love is not one of feelings. It's one of choice. The best way I know to describe it is when you have a child. I have a child. I love my child. Dearly. Does she always make me happy? Not so much. Doesn't mean I don't love her. In fact, I think of creative ways to love her when she's not being nice, so that I can instruct her to learn how to be proper. So I can instruct her in how God is going to love. I don't stop loving her just because she makes me mad. I love my wife. That's been a choice at times. And you know what? She loves me, and I guarantee you it's been out of choice. See, that's agape love. That's when he says, for God so loved the world. And well, he didn't love it because he was happy with it. God didn't die on the cross and to save you because he was happy with you. It's because he loved you. He chose to love you. If we can wrap ourselves around the goodness of God and the love of God that he has towards us, that is going to change your life. It's going to change the way you absolutely look at everything in your life. It's going to change how you see work. It's going to change how you see your family. It's going to change how you see yourself. It's going to change everything because you're going to start seeing things through his eyes. And then you can love one another. Now, there is a scripture, and I bet you I'm going to have to use my password again because I didn't talk too long. Let me see. No, it kept it. Woo-hoo. Let's go to Mark chapter 10. Now, it's one thing for me to talk about Jesus' love, and there's another thing. Let's actually read a scripture where it's indisputable. Okay? We go to Mark chapter 10. Now, Jesus had just spent time preaching and speaking, and he just talked to his disciples some about little children. We're going to go past that. Verse 17, he says, and when he was gone forth into the way, in other words, once he had already started down the road, it's sort of like jumping in a truck and heading to town. He was headed. He had finished up what he was doing, and he was moving on. And look what happened. And this was new to me this morning when I was reading this, so this is new. There came one, what? Running. Now, do you think that guy was after something? I mean, he just didn't show up haphazardly. No, he came running. How many of us have come here running? I came here running from 3 flat tires, but that's besides the point. No, we are all here. If you're going to come spend time here, it's because you really want to be here. Okay, this is not sort of like, this is like living on the moon. Now, I have it pretty good. I got heat and running water, but I mean, praise God. But, you know, my type of camping's, you know. I've done the tent thing. I prefer the camper, frankly. But, you know, the point is that if you come here, you mean to be here. So this guy comes running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what should I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Look at Jesus' statement. And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God." Jesus was not going to take any glory at all because he only did the things the Father gave him. If he were to take glory for anything, he would be in sin. So he gave all the glory to his Father. He answered the guy, "Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." This guy evidently knew what was right to do. It's not rocket science, right? Sometimes we make it a lot more complicated than we need to, but it's not hard. Love God, love one another. Isn't that everything wrapped up in those two things? The guy answered him and he said unto him, "Master, all these things have I observed for my youth." Now, I want you to look at verse 21. I want you to look hard at verse 21. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Loved him. And then he told him the rest of what he needed to know. Jesus is going to speak to him the truth in love. "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me." I want you to go back, and I want you to look in verse 19 and tell me what's missing. "Have no other gods before me." Look at what's missing in verse 19. We've been through a lot of verses this week that talk about us laying down our lives. They overcame him by the what? Blood of the Lamb. The word of their testimony, and they loved not their life unto the death. We talked about being corn last night, of being a seed, and lest it die, it can't bring forth fruit. We've talked about lest a man, well, not this week, but in times past, lest a man hate his mother, father, brother, wife, sister, children, whatever. He cannot and his own life also. He cannot be my disciple. I mean, this is not optional. And here's the thing that's sad. Now, this guy came running after Jesus. He didn't stumble across him in a coffee house sipping a cup of coffee at the front bar. This guy sought Jesus running after him as Jesus had already left town. He was after something. We have come here looking for something. But you have to receive the love of God and the word of God, or you're going to have the same result as this young man. And he says this, and he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. See, we've heard good word. We've heard good instruction. But if we don't obey it, it's to our condemnation, not to our salvation. And this was hard for this young man to hear. But when it says Jesus beholding him, what? Loved him. Because it's what he needed. It's what he needed so he could be complete. The guy comes running after Jesus, seeking after eternal life. And Jesus gives him the answer. And the guy what? Goes away grieved. See, we've been told this week, we sang it last night, and part of the reason I don't have a voice this morning, we sang it last night, lay aside the sorrows, lay aside the sickness, lay aside, lay aside, lay aside. We've been told to let go of the old man, let go of that nasty, gnarly old bone. Because God's got something much better. Let me tell you, I am a testimony of God's got something better. I am a walking, living testimony of God has something better if you give up that old thing. But if you out of pride and out of stubbornness and out of rebellion refuse to give up that old life, you're going to suffer the same fate as this young man. Let's not have that happen. Amen?
Amen.
You've heard some hard things. Hebrews 6 is not gentle, is it? Learning that if we were to die right now, we would be as we are in heaven. Oh, my Lord. God help me. That's why he gives us time. See, we're still walking around because he has grace on us. Yet given us opportunity, right? Don't count his grace as slackness. I'm screwing up that verse, but you know the one I'm talking about. We've heard some hard things, but it's because Jesus loves you. And Jesus loves me. We all came here lacking something. We can all leave filled. Amen. I'm done, sir.
Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
I'm not going to keep you long. I just want to go back to that chapter for a minute. And I want to look at something. After he'd finished with this young man, in verse 23, Jesus looked round about and said unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? How hardly? And the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answered again and saith unto him, children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. And that, I mean, I want you to look at that. Who trusts in riches. Now, you might sit back and say, well, I'm not rich. I don't have a lot of money. But it doesn't matter whether you have a lot of money or have a little money. your natural tendency is to trust in money. If I had money, I could do this. If I had money, I could do that. If I had money, I could do the other thing. Amen? I remember the day I used to say, if I had money, I could buy a tent and go out and do band revivals. If I had money, I could buy fancy equipment. Our Lord said, go stand under a tree. I made the tree. It's better than any tent. So I'd go stand under a tree. I found out it didn't need money to preach. Amen? Didn't need money to go witness. Didn't need money to go share the gospel. All I needed was the willingness to serve God. That's all I needed. I remember guys that used to say, well, I could sell if I had business cards. All right, give them a business card. They still couldn't sell. Well, if I had a vehicle with the company name on it, I could sell. Okay, give them a vehicle with company name on it. Still couldn't sell. See, we have all kinds of excuses as why we can't do things. And it all comes back to money, trusting in riches. But in the truth, if we trust in God, we can do all things. Amen. Even raise the dead. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? All right, it goes on a little further. Verse 25, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. I skipped 24. I did. Shame on me. And the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answered again and said unto them, children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. What I just said, he said it better. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And I've heard it preached over and over and over and over again. In fact, I heard it years ago and I thought, man, that sounds pretty cool. I'll use that. When they said, well, there's this door in the wall in Jerusalem. And when nighttime they shut the big gates and they open this little door, it's called the eye of the needle. And when the camels come in, they have to unload them and they go through on their knees. Anybody ever hear that story? They have to go through on their knees and then they come in, they put all the stuff back on. That's not what Jesus was talking about. Jesus didn't say it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle. Look at what he said. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. He's talking about a sewing needle. He's not talking about a gate in a or a doorway in a big gate. Why do you think the disciples were so astonished? They were so astonished. Look. I think I lost my place. I surely did. Here we go. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? See, if he was talking about a little doorway, they wouldn't have been so astonished. They wouldn't have been questioning who then can be saved. Because after all, if you could take the pack off a camel and run them through a door and put the pack back on, what's the big deal, right?
One's inconvenient, the other one's impossible.
Right. Thank you, Ricky. One's inconvenient, the other is impossible. So when Jesus then turns and says, Jesus looking upon them saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. See, this is putting it down where it's really at. It is impossible for you to save yourself.
Amen.
You can't do it. Nothing you do. I remember Where was that place in New York where we preached, Jeannie? Tupper Lake. I made a lot of friends in Tupper Lake. I think 90% of our congregation in the tent were Roman Catholic. And I said, how many people know Mother Teresa? And all, they all raised their hand, you know. How many think she's in heaven? And they all raised their hand. I said, she's in hell. And you should have heard the gasp. You know, how can you say she's in hell? She was such a great woman. Well, the Bible says if they preach any other gospel than that which Paul preached, they were damned. They were cursed. What was her gospel? Didn't matter what you called God. Didn't matter what religion you were. As long as you did the good works. Because it was the good works that got you saved, nothing else. Now, if that's not a damnable gospel, I don't know what is. And yet, that's the kind of people the world gyrate to. People that look good on the outside. I'm looking around this church right now. I don't see a whole lot of people that look good on the outside. I'm really not seeing a whole lot of pretty. Really not. And you know what? That's okay. Because God ain't interested in pretty on the outside. He's interested in what's on the inside. And we have to come to that place where it's all about the inside, that agape love, that spirit love that Ricky was talking about. Philios is fine. But it won't save you. It won't keep you married either. But that agape love, that can bring you all through, all the way. Amen? Musicians can go back to work.
Let's start with number 65, and we'll probably do number 66, too.
Which key?
This in G and that in D.
You until the rain.
Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end.
Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Go ahead and give the Lord a cheer. It's all right. It's all right. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. It's all unto Him belong. Sing it out now. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Give the Lord a cheer. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Well, praise the Lord, folks. Got breakfast at 8. Fellowship, don't be afraid to take a nap if you need it. Let's be strengthened in the Lord. Amen.
Amen.